Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, illumine these words by your Spirit, that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would have us be. For the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Listen for the word of God. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God.
Chapter 8 from the book of Proverbs is thought to have been written by Solomon, King David's son, and it works to relate every aspect of our lives to the rule of God. So in general, Proverbs are short little moral sayings, and they're advice, and they have a catchy form that teaches how to live faithful lives. So the book of Proverbs from the Old Testament is a collection of such statements, but it's also combined with what's called wisdom literature. Wisdom goes a little bit further than just short, catchy statements, and it gives counsel and it answers lots of different questions about how we should live. Doug Bratt on True Wisdom says, "Perhaps the simplest and best definition of it is a way of living, talking, and thinking that honors God and blesses people. Genuinely wise people both understand and do what God created people to do." So let's listen to the living word from Proverbs as Lady Wisdom speaks to us across the ages. From Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 4 and 22 to 31. "Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts, long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned the sea to it set its limits so that the waters might not transgress his commands. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. May you stir us afresh this day so that we hear you and grow ever closer to you. Amen. Dance is a common expression of our emotions in life. It starts when we're really young with like foot tapping, or we learn to clap, or maybe we spin in circles as a happy little toddler. So I've often heard that children's sermons sometimes speak to us more clearly than adult sermons. So be careful what you wish for, because the kids did a dance a few weeks ago, and now it's your turn. Please stand up. Put your right hand in, you put your right hand out. Put your right hand in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. One more. Put your whole head in, you put your whole head out. Put your whole head in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You can be seated. So dancing. It's a celebration of creation, but who knew this was wisdom? It's a simple pleasure we take in the beauty and joy of life all around us. It's carefree, and it was wisdom in the very, very beginning. And it speaks to us in Proverbs. How many of you thought of Proverbs in the Hokey Pokey? No. Nobody. There are two important words in Proverbs where translation matters. The first is translated, "The Lord created me." And another reading of this that would be better is possessed. On this Trinity Sunday, rather than having a duality of good and bad, or maybe even three gods, we're looking at maybe wisdom as a separate part of creation. Not separate, but maybe how does wisdom, God, or the Spirit, or another way we try to envision that. The second word is brought forth. It can also be translated to whirl or to writhe or to dance. So this Father's Day Sunday, take a moment to reflect on the image of Father in our Trinity. So often when we think we have an Old Testament God in our heads and we have a more loving God in the New Testament, and we don't really mean to do that, but that's something that we kind of grasp in our heads. This incarnation of Jesus coming along made God more lovable somehow. But like much of life, it's really not that clear-cut. Much of what we see as the harshness of God in the Old Testament is cultural or contextual differences. The role of ensuring survival and providing for the family leans towards a different kind of father than we experience today. This isn't to discount any of those for whom the image of Father has been tainted or even destroyed by abuse or absence. That is not the type of Father our God is. Our God is a loving and caring parent. But as with most aspects of our life, care has nuance. And what may be good from a father may not always feel gentle, and it may not always be understood by the child. God as Father probably gets angry. Not hateful or abusive, but angry. Not mamby-pamby or neutral. Think Jesus flipping tables in a temple. Think of the Holy Spirit. We have a dove and we have smoke, but we also have roaring flames. The Father in creation danced with wisdom. And our image of God is too often a very serious and somber, removed king. But wisdom speaks the more joyful dances, where there's daily delight, where there's rejoicing with the world and the entire human race. Wisdom isn't some stiff, removed elder in slippers in a library sitting back waiting on us to come wait on them with their expertise. Presbyterian pastor Jeff Paschal says, "We do not worship a stingy God who grudgingly gives gifts or who grants forgiveness as a divine grump. Not at all. The triune God is joyous, dancing, and pours out overflowing gifts to humanity with gladness." As we grow older, sometimes it's a little harder to capture the innocence and joy. How many of you has it been 5 or more years since you did Hokey Pokey? Right? But this wisdom that requires we mature in our faith engages our brains. We learn to dance with others. We start rings, ring around the rosies, things in school. Do they still do square dancing in school, maybe? Dances where you have to learn to do it together. How do we coordinate and dance together? Even the early church struggled as they were forming. Today is Trinity Sunday. It's the only Sunday specifically designated to celebrate a theology and not an event or a specific one person. And the concept of Trinity is a little tricky, but it came about very early in the Christian church. People were grasping with how to explain the relationship of Jesus to God and to the Holy Spirit. Was one subservient to the other? So Constantine thought he would resolve everything, and he did the Second Council of Nicaea, where we get the Nicene Creed. The Creed says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Proceeds is one of those big words, and it's an important choice of terms here. It doesn't narrow down the importance of the Holy Spirit or any one arm of the Trinity. It means to come from or be sent by. It doesn't mean precedes that it came before. And that's what the early church was struggling with. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all present and active in creation, separate but one. We have trouble getting our heads around this united whole, and we tend to start to categorize. So what does that word categorize do? It comes from the Greek kategro, and it means to accuse. Paul Young, in The Lies We Believe About God, describes categories as our way of making a sense of the world. The categories can be powerfully divisive, though, instead of just helping us make sense of things. Children quickly move from differentiating between me and you, safe and not safe, into territories of judgment of me versus you or them. Categories that are healthy boundaries too soon become walls that keep us apart one from another and imprison us within our own selves. Our dance drifts from one that's open and inclusive and partnering to a dance that's limited and closed off as we struggle to define and categorize our relationship and God's. We limit the very awe and wonder modeled to us in the Trinity. It's one of the most written on and most confused theologies of our faith. Three persons in one: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. The linguistics get so stilted. I've heard many attempts to explain the Trinity over time. Joanne did the fluid ice vapor one for us. I've heard a clover that's got multiple leaves but it's one. The most modern one that I've heard is one of these things, a fidget spinner. So it's got three individual prongs, but as it begins to move, it's one thing. It cannot be separated one from another any longer. The thought is that we try to use all these things to explain something, and the metaphors fall short. So what is the Trinity concept trying to tell us about God? St. Augustine was walking by the seashore one day, and he was contemplating the mystery of the Trinity. And he saw a little child running back and forth from the water. The child had a little shell and would run to the ocean, pull water in it, and run it back and put it in a big hole that he had dug. So Augustine came to him and said, "Well, what are you doing?" "I'm going to pour the entire ocean into this hole," the boy replied. "What?" said Augustine. "That's impossible, my dear. The sea is so great, and the shell and the hole are far too little for that." "That is true," the boy said. "It would be easier and quicker to draw all the water out of the sea and to fit it in this hole than it is for you to fit the mystery of the Trinity into your intellect." The mystery of the Trinity is greater and larger in comparison with our intelligence than the vast ocean is with a tiny hole. And then the child vanished. Digging in and exploring is healthy, and it's not something I ever recommend stopping in our faith lives. But being comfortable in mystery and knowing that God is outside of our ability to fully comprehend is also very important. Early theologians tried to describe it in terms of dance, that is maybe less limiting, less of a box than some of our other definitions. They compared it to a unique style of dance found in Greek weddings called perichoresis. This Greek word comes to us from peri, which means around, and choreia, which is the dancing part. This dance has three participants who start in circles, and they start weaving in and out in a really beautiful pattern. But the tempo speeds up. It gets faster and faster as they go. And so they start off with individual identities, but soon these dancers are blurring into one coordinated whole. The perichoresis refers to the mutual indwelling at intersection of three persons of the Godhead. They're distinctive, but they're not divided. So this is the dance that wisdom invites us into. We can't stay in our pews comfortably as the frozen chosen. And I'm even reminded of a worship service I attended at a presbytery meeting once. A Nigerian worship team helped to lead. And so they danced everything in. They sang and they had drums. They processed in the elements for communion, dancing as they came to the table together. It was very hard not to tap your toe and clap along as we waited in line coming up for intinction with the dancing going on up front. This is a dance, together in relationship. Greg Haslam says, the Trinity is the origin of human relationships. This is the essence of our being made in God's image. God is love, because he had always had someone to love. The persons of the Godhead. He didn't need us, but God wanted a bigger family to share his happiness with. The loving interaction and interdependence of Father, Son, and Spirit from all eternity means society and fellowship began before angels or men existed. Haslam continues, we reflect the perfect matrix of the Trinity in our relating well together. At the root of all present-day oppressive dictatorships, divided or monochrome societies, devaluing certain individuals, and the inability to cultivate love in community is a denial of the Trinity. The Trinity models an image of mutuality, reciprocity, and totality, totally shared life. So our dance may involve some writhing and some discomfort, our impulses to divide and separate us from things that challenge us. But the mystery of the Trinity insists again and again on pulling us back together. This dance pulls us so much so that the whole would collapse, and it doesn't make sense if even one person is missing. It was not long after I moved to Texas that I discovered this thing called line dancing. How many of you guys line dance? Anybody? Okay, a few of you will. Yeah, you'll get it. Everyone seemed to know the steps, and you had to learn quick. And those around would help you learn to catch on. And it can be amazing to watch the unity of the lines progress together, and they seeming like separate but all the same. It's synchronized. Individuals are still individual, but they move as a whole across the floor together. So dancing has carried across the ages, young and old, generation after generation. Each have their unique style, but we keep right on dancing together. Richard Rohr summarizes, God is not the dancer, but the dance itself. Our God is a mystery beyond comprehension, above all of our metaphors and our words. A concept that not only pulls all diversity in, but is defined by this combination of diversity and dancing, love, twisting and twirling together, and taking delight in the beauty of all unique people. Wisdom calls from the heights at the crossroads, at the gates of the town and the portal. Her cry is to all that live. This Father's Day, I envision Lady Wisdom, Lady Spirit, Father, and Jesus, throwing our definitions and our boxes out the window, our picture of what is wise is morphed so that it is broader and more welcoming, and each precious child has a part of the dance. So have you ever been in one of those dances when one person stumbles or is taken out of the line? It throws the whole thing into a disarray. Our God beckons us, each and every one. You are all an important, vital part of this dance that is our God. Share the wisdom and share the joy and dance on.